Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, a concussion should not only take a student-athlete off the playing field, it also may require a break from the classroom, according to a new clinical report from the American Academy of Pediatrics. My guest is Dr. Mark Halstead. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Orthopedic Surgery and Pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine. So, Dr. Halstead, welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about this new policy, this new news release about the classroom and concussion.
Right. Well, one of the things that we've noticed, we know for a long time, is that, you know, physical activity can certainly make someone's symptoms worse after a concussion, but also cognitive activity or doing more mental activity can also worsen symptoms. And the problem that a lot of kids face is when they go back to the school setting, because it's not an outwardly visible injury, they can't see that the person's having a headache. They can't see that the person may be having troubles with focusing or concentrating in class. They don't know that they're having troubles with light or noise. It can really affect them when they get back into the classroom afterwards.
Okay, so how do we know? I mean, and is there a severity of concussion that would be this? I mean, if it's mild concussion, then are we not worried as much about this? How do we know? What's the level here?
Well, everybody's a little different, so it doesn't really matter as far as kind of when we talk about the severity of the concussion itself, because everybody, and even in that individual person, their concussion symptoms may be unique. And so so some kids may have just difficulty with headache, and some kids may have troubles with the focusing and concentration. They may have troubles with the sensitivity to light noise. They may have all of those things. And so this is where it's actually important to ask the kid what troubles they may be experiencing. And so that's one of the things that we do a lot in the clinical setting is we use what are called symptom checklists, and there's actually 22 items that are on most of the symptom checklists where the student can actually rate where their symptoms are and a variety of things that may be related to their concussion.
Is there a place that parents can download that symptom checklist?
There are some various things that are online. There are what are called sideline assessment tools that we use kind of in the sports setting that actually have concussion assessment things on them. There are actually also some apps that are available online, too, that have concussion symptom checklists on them.
Give us
a
few now, Dr. Halstead.
As far as the apps?
No, just as far as symptom checkers for parents to know, to ask their children to look at, to be able to determine when it's okay to go back to school.
Right. So, you know, as far as going back to school, that's also going to vary, too. Some kids may have those symptoms, and they're very mild, and they can tolerate the school day, but some kids have fairly severe headaches, fairly severe difficulties with concentrating, dizziness, things like that, where they can't even tolerate sitting in a classroom for 20 or 30 minutes. That's probably a kid that, really, if their symptoms are getting significantly worse in the school setting, we probably will have them home for a few days and see if we can get them calmed down that way and get their symptoms to improve and then return them to the school setting. But one of the other things that we also can do with these kids is we can send them back notes to school to make adjustments in the classroom setting. And that may be things like, you know, if they're having troubles with noise sensitivity, they may actually have lunch in a quiet area rather than a noisy classroom or leave their classroom early so they're not in a noisy hallway. Or we may lighten up their workload. They may have less homework to do, or they may give them extended time to complete assignments or tests because they are going to have difficulty getting things done on time.
And one of the you know, I've heard a great thing to say is when in doubt, sit it out. And in other words, don't even, when they come home from that concussion, no screen time, no homework, not even reading, because all of these things can, you know, really hurt them in a sense.
It can, but that also is variable, too. Sometimes we take that kind of phrase of no screen time to an extreme, and if a kid doesn't really have troubles with bright lights and if they can sit in front of a TV or a computer and it doesn't make them feel any worse, I'm not going to keep that kid completely from all computers, all screens, all those types of things, because they may not have the symptoms that actually make them feel worse with those. And, you know, the part of the problem when we talk about concussions in sports is we're already pulling that kid out of their sport. Now we take away everything else that's fun for them, and that really can affect their mood. It can affect a lot of other things related to their symptoms, too. So we want to make sure we're catering these, and it's not necessarily a blanket approach where every kid has to sit home in the dark and not have any stimulus at all with no TV. Some kids can actually tolerate being watching TV, listening to music, using the computer, using their iPad or phone. So really this is where the individualized approach comes in.
And so parents can look for what, Dr. Halstead? I mean, you know, we've always heard to look at their eyes to see if the pupils are dilated, you know, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting. Do we ask the children, or if we ask the children if they're feeling any of these things, are we then offering that suggestive kind of, you know, they might come up with the symptom because we suggested it?
Right, but again, you're only going to know until you ask, and that's because, again, it's not an outwardly visible thing. And so I do ask the kids, are they having troubles with headaches? Are they having any troubles with feeling like there's pressure in their head, which is another common thing that they'll describe. They may have dizziness. They may have troubles with their eyes not being able to focus. A lot of kids will describe feeling foggy, where when I ask kids about what do they mean by feeling foggy, usually it's kind of they have almost like this out-of-body experience where they feel like they're kind of floating a little bit outside their body and they're not all together. They may have troubles with bright lights or very loud sounds. Again, the focus and concentration is another thing that we ask about. A lot of kids will have disturbances in their sleep afterwards, so they may have a very difficult time getting to sleep or staying asleep, or on the converse of that, they may be extremely fatigued after their concussion. So obviously we can see things like that as far as tiredness, but we may not know about how their sleep is at night, so that's why it's important to ask about those types of things.
And I understand that this is an individualized approach, Dr. Halstead, but how long is it typically that you see that children have some carrying on symptoms?
Yeah, so 80% of kids, when they get a concussion from sports, will be better within 3 weeks of their injury, with the vast majority of them in the first couple of weeks. But obviously that also means that 20% of kids could have lingering symptoms beyond 3 weeks, so that would not be unusual, and I certainly see a fair amount of that in my clinic of the kids that have lingering symptoms. But again, you know, just the vast majority of kids, we would expect most kids to be better and fully recovered by 3 weeks after their injury.
And is there anything parents can do to help reduce, you know, concussions and the event that, you know, our kids want to play these sports? Is there anything we can do?
Well, I mean, as far as reducing it, outside of wrapping our kids in bubble wrap and hoping for the best, that's
probably about it,
because we really can't, unfortunately, protect them from all concussions. Unfortunately, even the helmets by themselves, helmets haven't been shown to have a significant reduction in concussion rates. The newer helmets are certainly better than what was out 10 years ago, but unfortunately, we still see concussions at a very high rate, even in the helmeted sports. And so, you know, really the most important things are obviously educating kids as far as proper technique, especially if they're in a contact sport, you know, making sure that they're aware of their surroundings. You know, a lot of the concussions that we see are things that have no fault of the kid, their own. They're participating in the sport, and they just happen to get heads knocked. They weren't aware of what was going on behind them or to the side of them, and they get struck in the head. And obviously that's unfortunate, but you can't really prevent that. But obviously, you know, you can reduce it by how much exposure that a kid has to that sport. So, you know, a kid that's in a contact sport and is playing on multiple teams at the same time, well, guess what? You've doubled your exposure to a concussion by doing that. So again, you know, the more exposure we have to the possibility of getting the injury also increases our likelihood of getting one.
Golf, needlepoint, those are all great things that kids can do where they're not going to get a concussion. You could get one in golf, I suppose, but, you know, and it's probably not very common. So, the media has made a lot of concussions lately. You know, we've been seeing a lot of information about concussions. Are you feeling that now, Dr. Halstead, it's getting out there and that coaches are more aware and they're able to even work with their team so that there's buddy-buddy stuff going on the field? Hey, watching out for that kid. Why is he acting weird? All of this sort of thing.
Certainly. I see a lot more attention from coaches. I see a lot more as far as education that's being done at the high school level. The concern I have right now is at the club sport level, because there's not mandates. Most of the states now, in fact, all the states except for Mississippi, have a law that is in place that there's mandatory concussion education, typically geared towards the high school student-athlete. But the club sports, the middle school and beyond, those coaches may not have the education that a lot of the high school coaches have received. And I've seen, unfortunately, a lot of club high school kids or club sport kids who are actually sent back to play, which is absolutely not what we want them to do, the day that they've had the concussion. And so we still have a lot of work to do from an education standpoint, but I certainly see a much better trend in the high school sports of the message being out.
And so the message is, listeners, that every concussion is unique and that symptoms will vary from student to student, but you need to manage the student's return to the classroom, and it requires an individualized approach. If you missed any of the information we gave today on ways that you can go with that individualized approach and know when your child is ready for the bright lights and noise and bustle of school, then listen to the show again. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children on Radio MD. Stay well.